Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. After all, why should I not? Why should I not make one more video about Brett? My precious. How are you doing, guys? We will talk about what's happening. Yesterday, I took a break. There was construction at my house. It went well. This house is improving. It's getting better and better in terms of insulation, flow control of the wind, the air, temperature. I love it. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is a double program. We have our regular show right now. I'm going to try to do it relatively short. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we have our Patreon hangout for the supporters of the show on Patreon, Subscribestar, backed by, if you'd like to be part of the conversation tonight, join any of these three platforms, and we will have this show after the regular show. Rest in peace, Professor Richard Lynn, who died peacefully on the 17th of July 2023 at the age of 93, discoverer of the Flynn effect, high Northeast Asian IQ, persecuted by the I love scientist. My life would be very different today if he hadn't regarded me as a protege, says Edward Dutton. Wow. Richard Lynn is dead. He's the guy behind the Flynn effect, which is this idea that there's an increase of IQ happening in that has been discovered in many societies, and some of the racial differences in IQ he has been researching. I didn't know that he was that Edward Dutton was his protege. It's good to hear. What a man! What a special man! He has contributed in between the kind of the innovation of the IQ test itself and the kind of modern genetics aspect of IQ. He was in between these two eras of science, and he was into gathering a lot of data, across the world in ways that give us specific insight into various countries, various races, various timescales. That is what I will remember Richard Lynn for. Congratulations to the IRS on winning the $846.3 million Mega Million jackpot. So someone was saying this in response to, I guess it's an old tweet, but it's part of the Internet Hall of Fame. The realization that the IRS is making more money than the winners of the lottery. $1.28 billion lottery. The guy who wins it gets $433, and he has to give $846 million to the IRS. If that doesn't awaken you to the reality of the position of the state in our society and how it's placing itself to be the winner every time and never the loser, that's why the state keeps growing. It has set the rules of the game in the way that it can't lose. So something that can't lose in society cannot improve also. That is one of the rules of not only economics, but biology. Natural selection cannot happen if there's not a loser. There has to be someone who's making more babies than someone else, and that someone else is the loser of natural selection. The state is never a loser. Richard Tice says, once again, a quick look at other websites shows European temps are 5 to 10 degrees cooler than your scaremongering. So apparently another map from the BBC, which is getting accused. I don't know to which extent it is scaremongering. They claim that what's white on this map is at the average, what's blue on this map is colder than usual, and what's red on this map is hotter than usual. Well, the first thing that strikes me is there may be a problem of heat more than usual in certain areas, But there is a problem, if you want to call it a problem. There's basically cooler temperatures on large surfaces of Europe. That is the jet stream. So I don't know if the jet stream is laid out graphically on top or if it actually represents the temperature difference. But it seems that a large part of Europe is just at average temperature. And then the more north you go, the colder it gets with respect to average. So basically, it's all these places that gather these normie places that are heating up. Stephen Robinson says, JF, did you see Elon Musk tweets about X? It's like, Stephen. I know you are enthusiastic about pumping X. Like any good proponent of a crypto, you want your crypto to pump again. I respect that, but this whole enterprise of faking the fact that Elon Musk was talking about X, when in fact, so he responded to another tweet that is unrelated to crypto. And he said, I'm fascinated at Hex. And now the Hex community has decided, hey guys, let's make everyone believe that Elon Musk was talking about the Hex crypto. That is deceptive and cheap. It's like, it doesn't give me much confidence in this community when I see them try to basically mount a public campaign of deception. And so they all started, those hexicans, they all started making tweets that, oh yeah, Elon is truly talking about X. Now, these fucking scammer liars have actually gotten to me. Because then I started thinking, is it possible that, you know, he wasn't talking about the hex magic, but that given all the constraints onto Elon Musk by the SEC, that he can't pump cryptos anymore. You know, he's had his wrist tapped a couple of times. So these fucking scammer, like openly scammer people, who are like openly saying, hey guys, let's lie and let's make it like this tweet is about Hex, actually led me to reconsider my thoughts. And then at some point in the day, I was like, maybe they're right. Maybe Elon is talking about the crypto X, and the only way he's allowed to do. John Drake says, don't tell me you bought some. No, they didn't get to me to this point, like not to the point where I will throw my money at them, but they got me. They shook my epistemological core. And it's perhaps the first time in my life where someone comes to me openly saying, Jeff, I'm going to lie to you. And I'm like, okay, well, what I'm about to hear is certainly a lie. And where the process of engaging with that open deception leads me to reconsider the actual truth behind the matter. Who knew that a lie can shake up the foundational core of your epistemology, even when you know it's a lie? Fascinating. You guys, you hexicans have given me an emotion that I didn't know about. Eating less meat is like taking 8-meter cars off the road. James Melville comments, this is absolutely bonkers. Yeah, I'm not sure about the accounting of those environmentalists. You're accounting the beef. I think you're being biased. I think you are not accounting what would happen if the beef wasn't there at all. first I would have to drive to get to buy more vegetables from the vegetable gardener. There would be more transportation of vegetable. I'm not sure. And the fact that the beef is there, it plays a role in nature in the conversion of vegetables to proteins. I'm sure that, as we have seen in the show, there are the processes that happen in the stomach of the beef would also happen outside of it. The decomposition creating methane of the grass would also happen outside of the stomach of the beef. I'm not sure everything has been properly accounted for. That's always the dramatic thing with these ecological CO2 and heat emission calculations. So apparently the Barbie premiere was a freak show. That really sucks, man, because I had high hopes. I had high hopes that Barbie would be the 2023 just pearly hetero, just trophy wife Ken, the giga Chad Ken. I thought it would be just simple, but no, they've invited the whole Hollywood crew that you would expect at the Barbie premiere. It's me. Is this, I'm not even sure, is this just some kind of medical device? Or is this a new fashion trend to be like Tim Burton levels of dead zombie looks and having a head older just happens to be helping that look? What is it? Am I looking at a competent medical work here with the restructuration of a neck? Or am I looking at the Tim Burton novel zombie look? Wow, this is bizarre. I didn't know that this could exist in terms of physiognomy. What are we even looking at? Post-surgery Asians? What leads to this state of affair? Okay, well, there's a couple of people who look normal, I would say. What is this? Anyways, I will watch Barbie. I will watch Barbie. I will watch Barbenheimer also. I will watch these movies. I like movies that are well set, that we know what they stand for. And I expect pink. I expect heterosexuality. I hope I will not be disappointed. This was the premiere. This doesn't mean that all these people are appearing in the show, I guess. Shamrock Shake says, I really wish people would stop watching these Hollywood / influencer types. Well, we'll talk a little bit about Hollywood as I begin my subject of Brett Weinstein. So let's talk about Brett Weinstein, who... He has been criticizing my crowds before. He's been shocked by Nazi Twitter. And when I was giving arguments that were presenting a case that he has committed plagiarism, his answer to this was, well, I've seen people who follow him on Twitter. They are Nazis. Therefore, be careful. This is what he said. Be careful about people who associate with such thugs. So there was a whole jump back then in his response from, okay, this guy is accusing me of plagiarism based on his observation of my statements, to, well, his followers are that way. To, I have seen a couple of anonymous accounts among his followers that seemed like they could have been actual Nazis. And to, well, they are therefore committing violence. They are thugs, and therefore careful about this guy. What, careful because he has audience members that could be violent? And now we are in front of a new situation with Brett Weinstein. He has realized that there were also people in his crowd that are thugs. And so where does that place my plagiarism accusation against you, Brett? Because now I'm a thug-associated person. You're a thug-associated person. I will say careful with the plagiarists out there who are associating themselves with violent thugs. Because now this time, he doesn't have the excuse that another scientist is associated with these neo-Nazis of Twitter. Now he found them into his own community. And he cannot believe, how can they be so rational on the COVID and vaccine question and yet be so irrational on this question? And the fact is that they are not irrational. They are what he calls Nazi Twitter first aren't necessarily Nazis. There's a bunch of reasons why someone would publish a swastika, why someone would make some reflection on World War II that may be outside of what you would normally think or outside of the usual discourse, that wouldn't make them Nazis. It makes them Nazis in your mind because Brett has this very Jewish construction, this dehumanization of the white man claiming his place in the world, and he's going to package this all in Nazis because that's the code word for someone like Brett to dismiss anything that can come from it, anything including good science. Because this is the current state of the world. This is, we are faced with someone who, in his own field of expertise, refuses to consult a work because the work could have been read by Nazis. That is the extent to which the irrationality of Brett has brought him. It has brought him to the point of denying himself the epistemological, hedonistic pleasure of discovery and understanding of the world, to replace that with an ethnic hate toward a bunch of people that he mischaracterizes and misunderstands anyway. So let's see what he has to say. And I'll try to explain it to Brett. Brett, it's not these people who are losing it, who are disconnected from you on other questions than COVID. It is your rationality that defects into this domain. You are so hateful of alternative views of history, of other people, that you cannot conceive rationally of this particular subject. And you should. Because you know all of the ingredients to public extortion on certain and bad incentive systems on certain questions. When it comes to COVID, you understand them all. You understand that all these people, these experts who show up to defend the vaccine, they are working under a set of bad incentives. Big corporations, pharmaceuticals paying them, advantages on the side of grants. If they do the right thing in the eyes of Fauci, this and that, a bunch of bad incentives. I'm stunned that you cannot transfer this perfect understanding that you have of bad incentives in the case of COVID, that you cannot transfer them to the problem of World War II history and the whole thing that you call Nazi Twitter. We are stuck with the problem that in most of Western civilization, it has been declared, and the U.S. being the only exception, but it's becoming less and less of an exception on this. It has been declared that a bunch of views around certain historical subjects are criminal. We have criminalized historical research, thought, and just freedom of consciousness. That is the current state in Europe. It's the current state in Canada. And it's increasingly the current state in the US as there are more and more these anti-BDS laws that are basically trying to say, well, if you have this historical view, you are being unfair to the Jews. If you are unfair to the Jews, you can't have public contracts. If you are associated with a corporation, you must sign something. A corporation that gets public contracts from the federal or state government, you must sign a little paper that says, I acknowledge the... I will not boycott Israel. I acknowledge the validity of Israel, blah, blah, blah. Basically, a testament of kneeling to the Jews. That is the current state of America in a country that has a First Amendment. It's much worse in Canada, much worse in Europe. It's to the point where someone like me, I do not have a strong position on World War II. I don't have a dog in this fight very much. But someone like me looks at systems and incentives, and I must look at the truth here, and the truth that I know for sure is this. The debates around World War II history and specific points, and I can't even go into the details, the debate hasn't been had fairly. There is certain positions that you can attain into these subjects that have been criminalized, where people are intimidated, and beyond the criminal intimidation and the intimidation of actually being put in jail, which would be enough in and of itself, there is a whole class of definancialization tactics, of reputational ruining, of hit pieces, of personal attacks, of family attacks that are deployed against people who have a certain perspective on history. And that, to me, as a truth seeker, who doesn't care about even the answer to the question, I don't give a shit. But it makes me say, whatever it is that I'm being told by the TV, by the books, by the academics, by Brett's undergrad paper about it, all of this is existing into a biased, unfair system where certain thoughts have been banned in advance. So they never had a chance. They never had a chance to the debate. They never were tested properly. And I can never be fully exposed to the best argument for them as long as we criminalize this kind of attitudes and beliefs. That is my position. Let's see what Brett has to say in this segment, which led me to these considerations.
I had gotten, for whatever reason, on Twitter, dumped into what I call Nazi Twitter, mm-hmm. right? And I tweeted about it yesterday or the day before, and I got back a reaction that I was not expecting.
That is a reaction of that kind because the current generation has decided that they weren't transmitting the taboos of your generation. Simple as. That's why you have a whole bunch of Gen Z edgy accounts. That's why you have someone like me who doesn't give a shit and who's willing to take the whole price you have to pay just to be opened intellectually, just to be, hey, you know what? I'm not going to shit on the head of David Duke. I'll invite him on my show. And we'll talk barbecue, and we'll talk gym, and he's going to show me, hey, JF, you should live like this. You should do this and that with your nutrition. We don't care because we have decided that it was ending here. The current generation is the last generation that will cultivate any guilt by skin color associations with ancestors that have nothing to do with that should not be held in the head of current people in terms of guilt. And just to give you an example, I come from a line of descent that is fully white, fully Catholic, fully French, to the point of 23andMe giving me 100% at this point. They had started giving me some English genes at the beginning, but eventually they did more research, and now in my account I can log in. And now I'm 100% French, and I know because I know my ancestry tree very much down to France. These people have never been participating to slavery. These people have never been participating to the Holocaust. These people were just good farmers. And yet, we are being told that I need to be scolded and I need to be told a version of history that has been designed so that I would endorse evils that have been committed by people who are totally different from my line of descent, but that I should take a part of it onto my shoulders because I'm white. That is the current state of Holocaust education. That is what they are pushing to introduce more and more into our elementary schools. And the current generation, the young people of today, have said, I don't want any of this. I will not feel any guilt.
When I say Nazi Twitter, I am talking about a part of Twitter where swastikas are not viewed as negative, where Hitler is quoted.
So swastikas not being viewed as negative. You have to understand that you are paying the price of the of having worked so hard to be the ultimate taboo of society. You have won the first position in many ways, the Jews. The Jews have just bringing this subject in a conversation is the most awkward subject you can possibly do, at least in the old generations, you know. You have made the subject of yourself criminal in certain jurisdictions, extremely socially punished in others. And as such, you have also become the butt of the joke. It's fucking funny to take the thing that people hold most dear in their cognitive structure of taboos and to revert it, to play with it. That is the goal of humor. Out of the anonymous accounts that you browse, perhaps some of them are being comedic. Perhaps some of them are being exaggerating. Perhaps some of them are playing with the swastika as an emotional tool of triggering people, of pushing away certain people and attracting others. There are many legitimate uses of symbols like this who are shocking in nature and who lead you to a brain that can reconsider certain assumptions that we've been asked to adhere to. And so it's not because you see a couple of swastikas on Twitter that I will be offended anymore. I think there is legitimate edgy posting out there that's being done that I love to browse, that is sometimes funny, edgy, sometimes dark humor is at play, sometimes simply just because it's such a symbol that is triggering, just triggering of emotions and interesting to consider. I want to read all of this. I don't want to be limited in what I can read. Now he goes on and explains the view of these people on Hitler.
In an effort to illustrate that he is not who we were told he was. In fact, the idea that is commonly circulated in the...
Well, someone is always someone else than the person you can represent in a history book, right? You could write a history book about me. It could be 5,000 page long. It could be 20,000 page long. You would never have captured the real JF. And so certainly, when you construct the enemy of Western civilization / NATO as it has come to be it, The original enemy from within has been Hitler in the post-World War II kind of Western cognition. When you construct an enemy of that kind and you describe him in historical book based on his strategies, his political advancement, you're going to end up having created a caricature no matter what. And as many people point out, that's why it's interesting to point out, hey, Hitler was drinking water too, you know? Why do people say these things? You know, oh, Hitler was a vegan. I don't know that he was a vegan, but we hear those things a lot. That's to make people realize that no one is ever the caricature of evil that you would want them to be when you establish a ultimate myth for a society. The real person must have had things that motivated them that were good. There must have been a perception of themselves that they found was a righteous path to take. The very path that you think was evil, they must have perceived it in a way as good. And that's a point I've made about Jeff Epstein. And they quoted me on Wikipedia for this. It's still smearing my name on Wikipedia. But I stand by the statement. I said, people can't just be evil. Because there was a journalist who was asking me, Jay, why did you ask money to Jeffrey Epstein? And I said, if someone has done evil, we have to give them the opportunity of doing good. Someone can't be just evil. And so I have extended this super empathy to a Jew in Jeff Epstein, when I gave him an opportunity to make amends and fix some of the damage he had been doing in society. And I say we should extend this empathy to everyone. I want to read quotes of Hitler on Twitter that give me another historical perspective on him. I'm not saying he didn't do evil things, but I like to understand history better. And we won't understand history as long as we have this caricatural view of, oh, this is the absolute evil. Like, any sort of inspection of the inner psychology of the man is barred, taboo. You just don't do that. That is not how you understand the world. That is not how I want to understand the world. And I'm a man of the not so young generation. Now I'm getting old, but I'm very much connected to the current rise of a generation that does not give a shit about putting taboos where I would prefer understanding Hitler than having the perfect caricature of him in my head. So I welcome these quotes. I love them. Certainly, he must have thought in some way that what he was doing was good. I'd like to know more about it.
And this part of Twitter is that the television is lying to you, which I'm sure it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is the most beautiful part. He acknowledges that the television is lying to you. I'm sure they're lying. But it's another thing to say it that clearly about this particular historical subject. No. If they're lying, we must say they are lying. So I want people out there to be specialized in. I want some artist who's just obsessed about this question and find me the lies. Be critical. Find me everything that's wrong about it and debunk it for me, because I'll never get to the point of being so interested in the question as to, and I couldn't anyways. This particular subject, I couldn't research it. It's not legal. But I love to see that there's a country in the world, America, where people can do it. And there's been prominent speakers that I would like to see Brett debate. I would like to see a debate between Brett and Nick Fuentes. Let's go. Tell me your arguments, Brett, and let Nick express his arguments. I would love to see it.
But the television is lying to you that Hitler actually was not interested in war. He was interested in peace. And
well, do you deny this? It's an interesting take that internally Hitler wouldn't have triggered such a large war, and that he merely reacted to the expectation that anyways they're going to attack me, so let's attack instead. It's absolutely possible. What is the evidence that he thought that way? I'd like to see the evidence.
And that the narrative that has been created around him in the aftermath of the Holocaust and World War II is a construction of you.
It's always a construction. A book will never capture, a historian will never capture a full character. Impossible. Informationally impossible. Too much compression.
You guessed it. Jews in Hollywood.
Mm. Well, our view of World War II is very much influenced and determined by Jews in Hollywood. I have the 50 top here. 50 top Holocaust movies on IMDb. Schindler's List. Director Steven Spielberg, Jewish. What else? What are the big ones? The Pianist. Director Roman Polanski. A Polish Jewish musician struggles to survive the destruction of the Warsaw Ghetto of World War II. So, yes, and on top of Jews and Hollywood, there is Jews and the academia. There is a lot of Jewish academic researchers who are interested in documenting the Holocaust and documenting World War II. So definitely it is correct for this Nazi Twitter to point out that Jews have taken the Battle of the Mines to a place that is extremely aggressive in the domain of creating public consciousness on matters of World War II.
Right now.
Amazing.
But then here's...
See, I just pointed out to the fact that everything stated up to now is real. It's true. And some of it, Brett agrees with it. Like the TV, the case of the TV being liars, he says, maybe they're lying, yes. So he agrees with some of it. I've just shown that all that Brett has stated there is real and true. And yet they are like, amazing. You're amazed at what? You're amazed at the truth, Brett. You have not debunked a single statement you've made.
Here's the crazy part.
So this was amazing. And it was true. Now let's get to the crazy part.
That's not every account, okay? Most of the accounts over in that land are replying there, and there are some people over there that I know, people who have actually defended us in some cases.
Uh-oh. So now, there we go. We have the admission that there are thugs in the fans of Brett. Well, I believe that based on past interactions with Brett, that gives me the right of completely dismissing what Brett has to say. I will simply in the future point out to the fact that Brett associates with criminal thugs and that we should be wary about anything that comes from him.
These people are not Nazis, but they are now trafficking in a kind of sophistication or false sophistication that I know what it is because
false sophistication. Someone was pointing out that this is the specialty of this show.
Because, frankly, I wrote a paper.
Not this show, JFG Tonight, but the Dark Horse podcast. False sophistication is all that's being done there.
paper on it in college saying, here is what this impulse to genocide actually is. To watch people now trafficking in Hitlerian revisionism, including, you know, seriously, we're talking.
And see, this is so critical. Brett believes that it is one of the great qualities of RFK Jr. to be able to review, to revise his view based when presented with new evidence. In fact, he's going to say it even in that very show. So revising your view in the face of new evidence is righteous in the view of Brett. But revising your view of World War II in the face of new evidence, in the face of quotes that you may not have heard about different characters of the time and what they thought, now that is not righteous. What's the difference here? You are revising your view. You're revising something that most people believed or that you ended up believing because it's been taught to you that way. You're presented with new evidence. You change a little bit your mind. The fact that Brett can be so hostile to revisionism when it's that subject and so welcoming of revisionism when it pleases him is what's wrong. It is the irrationality I'm talking about. It is what I call Brett's suspended rationalism.
Talking about accounts who have been, you know, in one case, an important COVID dissident account. It's an anonymous account, so I don't know who it is. But we're talking about people who should know better.
Oh, my God. A total absence of argument. And he often gets to that point. He often gets to when he doesn't know how to properly debunk a view that he criticizes. He often says these words, he should know better. He should know better. He says this of an anonymous account. It just turns out that this anonymous account has followed their rational process in a direction that doesn't please Brett. DK Shadow says, they should know better. How dare they? And we have in the reply of Heather Eying, or Heather Higher, I always mistake the two. We have a similar experience. She experiences the same thing. But for her, it's not Nazi Twitter. Of course, because she talks so much about the trans issue, for her, it is this transphobe Twitter.
What I'm hearing from you talking about this and what I'm seeing over in relations between the sexes is, okay, full stop, we're done. All of that was a mistake. Let's go back to trad everything, racist, misogynist, everything, homophobic, all of it, right? And it can be easy if you're not paying any attention.
The problem here is that racism has been a label applied to a series of personal preferences and sexism and homophobia. They've all been modern labeled, applied to pre-existing preferences that had evolved and that are not properly described by these labels. Homophobia is a perfect example. Phobia is to be afraid of something. Is it possible for someone to prefer that their children not be gay without being homophobic? Is it possible to have a preference without having a phobia? Is it possible to say, I like vanilla ice cream, but I'm not chocolate ice cream phobic? But this kind of leftist language of the modern days, racism, sexism, homophobia, this kind of language makes it a dichotomy, a false dichotomy, that one cannot prefer without it being a form of aggression toward the other side that they don't prefer. And ultimately, it is a trick of language developed by the left to instaurate a form of entitlement that wasn't just. Because you should not be entitled to converting the children of other people into gay, into homosexuals. You should not be entitled to be part of a chosen race that everyone wants to date. Perhaps people don't want to date in your race, and that's their right. So all of this labeling is really not helping. It is actually misframing issues that are legitimate preferences of the past that had probably evolved, that were probably organizing society better. These preferences that, oh, I prefer dealing with people like me, from the same religion as me, from the same race as me, and I prefer dating people like that too. And this has all been converted to homophobia, sexism, racism. That is the problem. The fact that you endorse these labels to begin with means that you are trying to get into this debate with a already established preference.
Attention at all to think that those of us who are critiquing the overreach, the bludgeoning of people with actually new racist things.
See, in the mind of the boomer, the only way the left can be criticized legitimately is to criticize their derivation into other forms of racism. That's interesting. So it means that the left must be given a space of action. They must be capable of advancing in so many ways, except when they go too overtly anti-white racist. It's interesting, but it's dangerous to think that way. It's dangerous because it sets the anti-racism of the left as being the only legitimate issue. And the only times the left must be criticized is when they overspike into the reverse racism, into the anti-white racism too aggressively. But otherwise, the left doesn't have anything to question. This is a boomer myth, and it's why a lot of boomer conservatives even will come to you and say Democrats are the real racist. It's because they cannot conceive of a good political argument other than we must fight racism.
And newly sexist ideas are part of the problem. But it is a new... This call to tradition, this call to what has already been, is so often what you're seeing and what you're calling Nazi Twitter and what I'm seeing, and I don't have a name for it yet, but certainly what is being revealed in a lot of the trans ideology is this, like, okay, part of the problem, you know what I see? Oh, the problem is that women got the vote. Really? That's where we are? We're allowed to say that now?
Yeah, we're allowed to say that since the foundation of America. Yeah, we're allowed to say that. Sorry. It's the First Amendment. It's not even new.
Oh, okay. So guess what, pseudo-lefties? This is your making. Like, this is something that you have helped create. You have helped come, you know, bring out into the public with strength, because you are saying things that are so insane that people are looking around going like, what can I do? Maybe the only thing I can do is to seek to reverse the clock by 150 years and see if we can't start over from there.
Well, the reason to go back to tradition is to note that nature converges toward points of stability, that the current state of society hasn't been attained or hasn't been stable for thousands of years. It's a very novel thing, this whole thing where a state teacher can decide that your child is, that your son is your daughter now. That is absolutely novel historically. And so the return to tradition makes sense in that tradition, just by its property of having converged there, and remain stable for thousands of years, and they get some sort of quality that is sustainable. Whereas current society shows no signs of being sustainable. So that is why people are headed toward tradition. Now she comments on, she's basically scolding the left here. And the issues that she takes with the left is to have thrown the frog in boiling water rather than turn up the heat progressively. That part is a strategic comment on the left. I will not comment further on it. But in general, as a conclusion on this subject, Brett is being particularly irrational when it comes to this whole triggering around Nazi Twitter. I would encourage him to, and in fact, it's what I've been planning for years. Even before I wrote my book, I've been planning that there would be people like Brett who would have this irrationality, and I wanted to kick it out of them. I didn't know that it would be Brett then, but I knew that there would be people who would not engage with the truth, who would not engage with a precious advance in science, and they would, by doing so, they would demonstrate that their political preferences are more important to them than the state of the truth, and even the state of truth in their field of expertise. It's stunning how Brett eventually rose on the scene and became that very person I knew would one day exist. That person who would have to pass the ultimate test, Papa JF's final exam. Whether you're capable of putting your political preferences aside and get interested in something purely for the truth of it. So, Brett, here's your final assignment. Read The Revolutionary Phenotype and clear your mind of all these. There's a reason people are reacting to your tweets negatively and in a way that you didn't suspect. It's because it's showing how you let the moral world take away the quality Brett who's interested in facts, who's interested in science. We miss that guy. Bring it back. All right. Well, I wanted to have a short show, but this one subject took so long that we're going to have to go through the news very quickly, because we have our private hangout happening at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and I want to have at least 30 minutes to rest my voice. So let's go through what's new. Burisma CEO, in a unclassified document that was published by ranking member Chuck Grassley, we have new revelations about Hunter Biden, the network of bribery that was around him, and they were saying, don't worry, Hunter will take care of all those issues through his dad. For anyone who was wondering if the Biden family is being bribed, yes, they are, and they seem very efficient at it. They were commenting, it cost $5 million to pay one Biden and $5 million to another Biden. That's the price. That's how much it costs to corrupt the American government. Just $10 million total, $5 to Hunter, $5 to Joe. Hunter Biden was stupid, and Dzhokhovsky's dog was smarter. So comments on this network of bribery, they were finding Hunter Biden particularly stupid. House Democrats have voted to censure RFK Jr. Presidential candidate responds. The vote took place during a hearing on government weaponization. So RFK Jr. was going to defend himself. I don't think that censure means anything. It's just the Democrats saying, we disagree with this guy. claiming that Kennedy repeatedly made despicable anti-Semitic and anti-Asian comments. Oh my God, so they took the whole New York Post article where it was saying that COVID differentially affects Asians and Jews, it affects them less, and then it affects white people more. So that would be anti-Asian and anti-Jewish comments. Holy shit. These people are completely beside the track of reality. I warned you guys in 1984 and you didn't listen. Director James Cameron highlights fears of AI takeover. Well, James, your AI was a phenotypic separation. The problem, the Terminator movies, I love them. By the way, I'm currently watching the Sarah Connor's Chronicles again. Holy shit, is that good TV. Ah, that is so good. The Sarah Connor's Chronicle and the woman in this TV show. Holy shit. I would fuck all of them. They are so beautiful. The Terminator girl. Perfect. Sarah Connor. Perfect. A little boomerish, but perfect. The girlfriend of John Connor. Perfect. Ah, it's unbelievable. We used to have beautiful actresses. They're not gone. I'm sure there's still beautiful women out there, but they're not being hired for TV series anymore. So, yeah, The Terminator was a fascinating series, but it just wasn't how AI will take over. AI will take over through a phenotypic revolution, and that will happen only when AI starts modifying our genes. AI on its own, it's not going to be self-conscious. So that is the dangerous thing with Terminator. It's to believe that the point at which self-awareness of the AI is a particularly interesting point. It's not. It's not. It's when the AI starts modifying human genetics that it becomes dangerous. World's largest chip maker slashes guidance as AI boom fails to deliver. I predicted this. The enthusiasm around the AI boom. Completely crumbling already. Florida Board of Education approves a new Black History standards that critics call a big step backward. The new standards come after the state passed new legislation that bars instruction in schools that suggests anyone is privileged or oppressed based on their race or skin color. Well, that makes total sense when describing current days. The new standards require instruction for middle school students to include how slaves develop skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. Oh my God, the world is so fascinating. Because I was making these edgy talking points and debates back in 2017. And now it's Florida law. Can you remember? I mean, in 2017, 2018, we were in those racial debates. And we were like, oh, you know, there may have been some good things about slavery. And we knew it was just to emotionally trigger the opponents, but you know, we were ending up making beautiful cases. And I was ending up making research. Yeah, you know, this particular slave ended up marrying her slave master, and you know, they made interracial babies, and here's a beautiful love story. And I would have never believed when I was making these little provocative, edgy, kind of half-joke debate that it would one day become Florida law. You have to teach that there was something good about slavery. Oh my God, that is absolutely beautiful. And CNN is fuming, of course. No sanctuary. NYC shoos migrants away. Warns that there are no guarantee of shelter services. New York City will immediately begin discouraging asylum seekers from seeking refuge in the self-proclaimed sanctuary city. Aha, we have attained the limit of generosity. We have attained what could have been predicted in Per Theory. When you're too generous with your goods, people drain them until there's nothing left. And now these sanctuary cities have been drained to the bottom. What else do we have in the news before I close the show? Because I want to get to the private hangout. Swedish embassy in Baghdad is burned as Iraqis storm compound over planned Quran burning. Well, that's quite a title there. But it seems that in Iraq, there is no free speech or free debate around the Quran. I'm not surprised. People manage their society in whatever ways they want. Iraq is yours. You do what you want with it. YouTube is pulling Sound of Freedom interviews and reviews. YouTube appears to be removing content featuring or even merely reviewing the movie Sound of Freedom for violating community guidelines as censorship of the anti-child trafficking movie continues. This is amazing. They're going to have a Streisand effect on a normie movie that just, you know, the big crime of this movie is to assume that child trafficking is bad, okay? And it's like, yeah, the hero in this movie is going to be the one who stops child trafficking. But you have forgotten something, which is that big tech and the left, they are kind of cozy with the idea of child trafficking. They're not totally triggered by it. When you mention child trafficking, they hate you more than the child trafficker because they think you might be a MAGA-style conservative, and that's the ultimate hate they keep for you. Silver Spider says, "Hey, JF, I've talked to so many boomers at work that still believe, number one, that Republicans only care about the rich, number two, that taxes used to be 90% on the rich, and that's what made the middle class great. Number three, everyone would get along if rich Republicans didn't fearmonger. Is there anything to say besides, okay, boomer?" No, there's nothing to say. I have been very clear about this. There is no changing the boomer generation. There is merely waiting. Just let time work at your advantage, okay? I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end of the wait, okay? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not speaking. But let time work to your advantage. Just keep doing your stuff. Keep working, keep grinding, keep building your greenhouse, and eventually time will work most likely in your favor. That has been my position on boomers. At this age, you are so cognitively trapped into the pillars that have been established before. There is no convincing a boomer. There is no educating a boomer. So just accept it. One day you will be as old as them and you will be as cognitively crystallized as them. And you'll probably be a pain to interact with for the youth of the world because you won't understand their references. You won't have their cognitive points. That is it for tonight, boys, but we will be headed toward our private Patreon hangout, Subscribestar hangout, backed by hangout. If you are a donor at the $20 level, come join me in 55 minutes. I will be, we might try for the first time because Odyssey has now added an option for unlisted streams. So I can hide private streams on Odyssey now. So we don't have to go to YouTube this month. It could be the first month where we stream on Odyssey. Mark D said, Jeff, you missed my super chat. Well, I don't see your super chat. Are you telling me that you see it? I want to be sure here that I've given an answer to everything. Is there a place in my account maybe where all super chats are listed? Settings. No, not there. What about my wallet? Tips? Credits? Well, just type it. Okay, you weren't talking about your super chat. You were talking about Silver Spider. Well, Silver Spider, I have answered. All right, that is it for tonight. But join me for the $20 level on Patreon, Subscribestar, and backed by. Join me tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the private show. See you all very soon. Thank you.